Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, Kevin here. Unfortunately, we were not able to record a new episode of the show this week due to Tom going out of town, kids getting sick, you know, just general life happening. But didn't want to leave you hanging without an episode this week, so I decided to go back into the Patreon vault. Yes, we have a Patreon, if you weren't aware, patreon.com/realspoilers. And since everyone's still talking about the Batman, I thought why not pull an episode of our discussion on Batman the Animated Series, one of my personal favorites. It's just great. So this is the type of content that you can expect on the regular if you subscribe to our Patreon for $5 per month. This episode was posted on February 19th, 2020. So enjoy the show, and we'll talk to you next week for another superhero movie, Morbius. Broadcasting from a radioactive bunker deep inside the Bracket compound, this is Real Spoilers, a bonus episode.
Ooh, that's always nice, you know, you get a little extra.
It is. So, of course, if you're listening to this, you are one of our patrons, and we appreciate you so much. Thank you for your support for the show, and today I think we're going to have something really cool. But before we get into that, shameless plugs.
Best episodes from Batman 66.
Well, you know what? I would do that podcast.
I would not do that podcast.
Oh, I love Batman. You don't love Batman?
I do not have the love for it. I like it. It's fine, but I don't have the love for it.
Interesting. Okay. Well, yeah. Before we get into all of our Batmania here, you know what you're listening to, but we always like to pretend like you don't know what it is until we say it.
Right.
Just to keep the suspense up, even though everyone clicked on it and knows what they're listening to. But shameless plugs, of course, don't forget to follow us on all the social media. So we're at Real Spoilers on Twitter, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. The League of Show Shares, I know there's some people on here that don't do Facebook, which is awesome that you're able to follow us and support us here.
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. So, but some people may not know about it. So we say it every week, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And then from there, you can link to the League of Show Shares. That is our Facebook group. We've got a lot of conversation on there, new trailers, movie news, discussion about the episode of the week. So if you are on Facebook, we'd love for you to join us there. So just go ahead, and we don't have any of those questionnaires. Some groups are like, answer these questions.
Oh,
and
yeah, right.
Prove to us you are a fan. I don't know, maybe we're just not big enough, but we're like, yeah, just ask to be a part of it.
And, yeah, and well, as long as you're not like, you know, you've been a part of Facebook for more than 6 months,
right?
We'll add you to the group.
Exactly. The only reason there's that approval thing and you can't join automatically is sometimes you have someone that joined Facebook like that day, and
yeah, right, and I don't think you're a real person.
Yeah, their photo is of like an Argentinian supermodel.
It's and funny. I just finished watching Don't Fuck with Cats.
Oh my gosh, so good.
And it, like, how many, like, what did they call them? The gal had a name for like an account like that.
Oh, like burner accounts that pop up.
Yeah.
I haven't watched in a couple months, but was that show not amazing?
That was nuts.
I told you and Tom, I said, please watch Don't Fuck with Cats. It is so good.
I mean,
not to spoil it for anyone, because you got to watch it, but like, just how crazy is everything that happened in that show?
It's nuts. And like the way the mom's like, they're bad. They're bad people for doing that to my poor baby boy.
Yeah, forget it.
When they get to the reveal as to like who this other person is.
Yeah.
And it was like when they, a whole different, this is a whole different podcast.
I know. We should do a Patreon because that shows amazing. I'll watch it again and do one.
I would absolutely do it again.
Anyway, so that's where you can find us on social media. Of course, if you can subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Spreaker, wherever you get your podcasts, that helps us because subscribing allows those numbers to go up and the podcast climbs the charts. More people can find it, you know, all that good stuff. And also, hey, if you haven't written us a review, go ahead and do that because it also, when people are scrolling through, they usually choose reviews to find new podcasts, and it's a big help. So
it is a big help
because of Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, Fantabulous, Emancipations, whatever
what
you want.
What a cluster!
We are here to celebrate the character of Harley Quinn.
Yes,
and something that not a lot of people know is that Harley Quinn was not created in the comic books.
No, she was not. She was a creation of Bruce Timm and Paul Dini on the Batman the Animated Series. In an episode called Mad Love, and that's kind of where she started as the Joker's sidekick, and then she caught on and they realized they may have found something, so they spun her into the Joker's girlfriend, and she was a fixture on that. Anytime you saw the Joker, Harley was not far behind.
Now, before fans and the comic geeks and the Batman Animated Series stands are yelling and breaking their podcast players, Mad Love was the last episode of the Animated Series to ever air.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was the last episode. So she actually made her debut in the seventh aired episode in 1992 called Joker's Favor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Mad Love.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. Mad Love was the last episode to air.
Yep, and then it also, they made it into a comic book. You know, and later on. But no, so Harley debuted in Joker's Favor, which is one of my favorites. Batman the Animated Series is such a great series. I have said time and time again, the greatest animated show of all time. And I don't know how you feel about it, Joe. Are you?
I mean, I definitely, so like, you know, I was a kid of the 80s and 90s, so I there was a lot of cartoons that were watched, but they were, you know, they weren't really telling they were telling stories, but they were for kids,
well,
right?
Like kid shows, not, yeah,
exactly. You know, like He-Man wasn't doing anything special. It was just bodybuilder punching skeleton face.
And
you know, like, it's not,
Animaniacs was great, but
Animaniacs was great, and Looney Tunes was great,
right.
And like so those shows were really smart, but there we had never had a sophisticated Batman, sophisticated superhero show, right? Like,
right.
You had Spider-Man, you had the X-Men, you had all kinds of, you know, different. There was the Ruby Spears Superman cartoon. There's all kinds of superhero cartoons, but none of them did what the animated series did. It had a completely different look than anything else that was out there, and they were telling like legitimate Batman stories. That was for you. That weren't softballs for kids.
Well, the thing that was great about it, and I think the magic behind the show's success, was that they weren't making these shows for kids. Now, kids could enjoy them. Obviously, we did. I would, you know, race home after school to see reruns or watch them on the weekends. Like,
I remember watching the premiere live in primetime.
Yeah, it was on primetime at one point.
Those first two episodes, the Red Claw, I think, were in prime time.
See, I watched them on WB. I never watched them on their initial airing, and they moved there pretty quick. They weren't on prime time too long.
They were on Fox for a while, then they moved to the CW or the WB at the time.
So that's the magic, though, right? They made an episode. They made this series not for kids, but it was still a kid's character. Kids love Batman, comic books.
Oh, yeah.
No problem there. And they never gets vulgar or gratuitous, or it's not like it's not like a TV MA show that we have now.
No, not at all. But it's definitely maybe TV 14.
Or TV 7
or 13. I think
some
episodes are definitely TV 14.
But it's not the cursing, and it's not that there's violence.
No,
it's just the subject matter is, like you said earlier, more sophisticated. It's it's a more adult subject matter, and that's why adults then and still today, as we do, still appreciate it, because there's nothing kiddie about the show. It has great writing. It has a great animation. It has a great score, fully orchestrated, led by Shirley Walker, rest in peace.
I think you can tell also the quality of the shows and the movies have gone down as far as voice acting goes when Andrea Romano left.
True. The casting, the great casting director.
She was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
She did all of the movies up until maybe the quote unquote New 52 reboot.
Yeah.
And there's been a serious dip in quality there too.
So this show was a pinnacle part of my childhood. And if you were a comic book fan, Batman fan, especially, you watched this show, you loved it. And we waited for a really, really long time for it to get any kind of home video release. It took ages for it to finally get a DVD release. And then they came out with a big special DVD box set, which I still have. It had artwork, you know, beautiful Bruce Timm artwork in it, you know, little inserts, and the discs looked really cool. And, you know, they did it up nice. It was really cool. That was like 100-something bucks back then. And then we waited for a Blu-ray and a digital transfer forever. It seemed like forever. And we finally just got it a few years ago.
Yeah, and then they put them on the app.
Yeah, yeah. But it's gorgeous. It is this show. The animation holds up so well because they put so much quality into it. When they rescanned these into 4K or whatever resolution they use to capture these digitally, it's amazing. All the color and the detail with the picture. It's a gorgeous show. And the other thing I really like about it is they took a lot of inspiration from like those old Fleischer cartoons.
Oh, big time.
The style is very much reflective of those old Superman Fleischer cartoons. They set it in even that same time period, right? Because it's they don't ever say when it takes place, but it has that 40s and 50s aesthetic.
It does. Like even it's the cars and like the there's just like an old timey aesthetic to it.
Yeah.
And I think they carried that over into Superman.
Yeah.
They also kind of did that same aesthetic where like the cars don't look modern, but it has like a modern feel to it.
Yeah, that's the other thing about it too. Even though because they never put a date on it, it never feels dated, and it doesn't feel old timey. And they definitely do bring in kind of an amalgamation of things where it's not like it's all old school. You know, they just blur the lines. There's no set time period they're stuck in. But that classic look and feel is what keeps the show. It's so unique and so great to look at. You love looking at these the old cars, like you mentioned, and the buildings. But it also has this dark feel to it, which is so different than most kids' shows. Because do you know why the show ended up being so dark looking in a good way?
Because they did it on black paper.
No one else did that. So instead of using white paper to draw on and use as the background, they started with black. And so everything has this tone to it, which... The show doesn't have to be dark and gritty necessarily. I mean, it's not like Snyder level dark and gritty Batman, right? But the character of Batman, I feel like, I mean, that character alone, Batman, lives in that world, that Gotham. And this show perfectly captures, I think, the Batman aesthetic, or at least the one that I prefer. I love him living in this time, wherever it may be. It's my favorite version by far of Batman.
It's hard to dispute that. I think it is definitely the most accurate representation of Batman, the Batman universe.
Yeah.
So not just the character, but like Gotham and Dick Grayson and Tim Drake and Barbara Gordon and
he's a
Commissioner Gordon.
He's a detective, but he's also a martial artist and he's also a socialite. And they play up all that stuff like way before the Keaton stuff. Or I'm not sorry, the Keaton stuff, but way before like the Christian Bale and the Nolan stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
When you're talking about him, you know, acting like a rich playboy and being a goofball and whatever. I mean, all that stuff was in this series, and it's just a really great look. I feel like it's so true to the character. And if you want to see one of the best Batman films ever made,
it
is a spinoff of this series.
Yes, and it's Mask of the Phantasm.
Yes,
it's perfect. It's a perfect movie.
If you want
there's nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah, if you want an hour and a half introduction to who Bruce Wayne is, who Batman is, Gotham City, the world, that movie is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, to see what they did with a budget.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's amazing.
It really is. It is one of the great movies. If you haven't seen it, and even if you haven't seen the animated series, you know, people listening may not have ever seen this show, which is crazy to us to think about, but I realize that because of when you grew up or for whatever reason, maybe you didn't like Batman at the time, you may have missed out on this. And it is not just one of the greatest animated superhero shows. I mean, it is one of the best television shows ever made.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, Bruce Timm has gone on, obviously, to
draw pinup girls.
That's prior, but still.
Prior? What do you mean? He did after this.
He did it, but that was like he was doing those pinup girls before.
He did. Gotcha.
This. And then, I mean, Paul Dini was a main. Both of those guys were a main fixture in the DC animated stuff. Mm-hmm. He's even written some brilliant Batman comics.
Yeah.
And then I think he's working for Marvel now. I think he's like part of their animation brain trust over there.
That sounds familiar. And I think, I mean, I wouldn't blame him because I feel like they kind of stopped using him for stuff at DC,
which is just the dumbest thing.
He wrote some of the best stuff, and I mean certainly when it comes to the animation, he wrote the best stuff that they've ever had. And it's a shame if people are underutilizing Paul Dini. That's a mistake, because
it's a huge mistake.
He should be out there working and creating your best stuff. So but anyway, and he has some great interviews with Kevin Smith. Seek those out. When he did Fat Man on Batman, I think he did like a three-part series with Paul Dini. It was one of those long ones. And of course, Batman being one of Kevin Smith's favorite heroes, and he made a whole podcast about Batman. He asks some of the questions that the real fans would want to ask and want to know about. So go listen to that if you can find it. I think those old, I don't know if they're behind a paywall now. I know some
of
his stuff. No. Okay. At some point, I think his stuff,
they put those behind a, went behind a paywall.
Yeah, at one point I believe Smodcast went to Stitcher Premium or something.
Oh,
so you know, the old stuff, not the new stuff, but the,
sure.
Back episodes or whatever you want to call them. So anyway, Batman the Animated Series, fantastic series. Bruce Timm, that style, I really love his artwork.
Yeah, I mean, he's that has gone on. That was basically the DC style for as long as I can remember. It went through Batman, every iteration of Batman the Animated mm-hmm. Series, Superman the Animated Series, Justice League Unlimited. That was kind of the DC style for animation for years.
Yeah, it obviously had a lot of influence on what they were doing there. It's my personal favorite of all the animated stuff. I'm really partial to the Batman the Animated Series as opposed to the Adventures of Batman and Robin. That original season, the first, I don't know, 50, 60 episodes, whatever it was. It's just gorgeous. And they went and simplified it for the second season, which is broken up. Like, if you have the DVDs or even on digital, I think it's broken up into volume 3 and 4. That's the new Adventures of Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
It still has the same voice cast. It still has the same creatives behind it. But I think they went to a simpler animation, kind of like how all our animation stuff went to that anime style that they're doing now on the computer. I feel like it just took so much time and money, and it was all there. I mean, it looked amazing, but I don't think they could produce them on that budget anymore. So they went to this kind of simplified, or maybe they thought it was slicker and what the kids wanted, but still good. But you know, the Joker has little beady eyes, and it's weird, right? Like,
yes.
When they transition, it's weird. The characters are...
There's a different look to those characters.
Yeah, it's...
They got rid of, like, Robin is Tim Drake, so it's a different Robin. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about Jason Todd, which is weird.
Right, it's cool that they can bring in Nightwing, though, for those episodes.
They did bring in Nightwing, yeah. Yeah. But the Joker's design has, like, those black beady eyes, and the yellow bat is gone from the chest. So there is, like, a different... look to the whole thing.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne, the people are simplified, right? There's not as much detail to the people. So like Bruce Wayne gets that, it's not like the first one, it's hard to say cartoonish.
He's wearing like a turtleneck.
Yeah, but it's hard to say cartoonish because these are cartoons, but the new adventures look almost more like a comic strip or something like that you would see. Like, Bruce Wayne's really broad shoulders and goes, he just looks more like a cartoon, where the original series, it kept their proportions at least. Like, they looked like humans that were being drawn more than cartoon characters, if that makes sense.
It makes complete sense.
So anyway, so back to Harley Quinn. So she actually debuted on this show and became a huge hit. She was supposed to be just, you know how Joker's henchmen or Riddler's henchmen, they come, they go. There's no, like, you know, name them. You don't know who their henchmen are. I mean,
there's a new one. They are introducing a new girlfriend for the Joker in the comics, like, in today.
Oh, I can't wait to see what Harley thinks of that.
Yeah.
You know, at some point that's probably going to come up.
Oh, for sure.
So, yes. So you don't really, up until this point, these were disposable characters, but Paul Dini decided to give him a female sidekick, and she became so popular that she was a staple in this animated series, and then would, of course, go on to do comics, movies, you name it. Obviously, now we're at live action. But do you know, Joe, what the inspiration for Harley Quinn was?
No, I don't.
So Paul Dini in college, it goes all the way back to his college days. He went to college with a woman who became an actor, and she was an actor on Days of Our Lives. It's
who was it?
I
watched that show.
Well, no, it is Arlene Sorkin who voiced Harley. He actually,
is that right?
Yeah. So she played a character called Calliope Jones on Days of Our Lives, and she was this goofy kind of ditzy blonde character on this soap opera, and Paul Dini was watching the show because he went to college with her, and I guess either he wanted to see her or watched it, you know, I don't know why, but he saw her in this one episode where she was a court jester in a dream sequence, and she comes out with white makeup on her face and drawings on her face, the jester's hat, the goofy colorful outfit, not the same outfit as animated series, but a jester's goofy, like she had a tutu or something. But he saw Arlene Sorkin play this character, kind of putting on the voice, being a jester, being goofy. And he said, I'm going to create this character and I'm going to have her voice it. So it's
that's so funny.
Right. So it's amazing that the direct inspiration for Harley Quinn is a soap opera character played by the voice, the best voice ever for Harley Quinn, Arlene Sorkin.
I'm partial to Tara Strong.
Oh, I don't think anyone does it better than Arlene Sorkin.
I don't think Kylie or whatever the hell her name
is. Hell no. whatever, both the Big Bang Theory, whoever plays Bernadette
did. They brought her for the...
In a movie?
They bring her in for...
Was it Killing Joke? It was...
No, she wasn't in Killing Joke.
Okay, whatever.
But yeah, they brought her in. Maybe it was that I don't remember, but it was bad.
But to me, Arlene Sorkin will always be Harley. If you listen to all the animated series, she voiced her, and she did in some of the early animated movies. And it's just, that's the first one I ever heard, so I get it. It's kind of like a James Bond, you know, who's your favorite? It's usually who you see first. But I still think to this day, she is the best embodiment of what Harley Quinn is, who she is. And I like Tara Strong. I think Tara Strong's great. I think she's my second choice, but it's just not as good as Sorkin. But she was the inspiration for this character, which I thought was fascinating. And if you go on YouTube, you can actually type in Harley Quinn, Arlene Sorkin. Just type that in, and it will show you the Days of Our Lives clip. It's pretty funny.
Huh. It's funny because, like, I think I was laid up with, like, a broken ankle, and I watched that show.
And you got hooked.
I did.
And you're like, I gotta find out what happens.
Well, the gal was one of the gals was possessed.
Yeah.
Jensen Ackles from Supernatural showed up on the show.
Oh my gosh.
As like one of a long lost brother of somebody. But I was like, it got to the point where I couldn't believe that I was still watching the show.
That's great. So anyway, yeah, go back and find those clips. If you watch it, it may spring a memory or something. Maybe you saw it at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
But this would have been probably early 90s or like late 80s, right? Because this show debuted in the early 90s. So, you know, when he saw her, I don't know if it was like 1990. You may have not have seen it at that point. But anyway, he brings her in. She does this episode and immediately becomes a favorite. People love this Harley Quinn character. No one had ever seen her. The Joker didn't have a sidekick like that. And so she's on board from here on out. Harley Quinn's going to be in these episodes. And so the first episode aired on September 11th, oddly enough, 1992.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Okay. The seventh episode aired was Joker's Favor. Then she's in Almost Got Him, the 35th episode in November 10th.
That may or may not be on my list.
Maybe. The Laughing Fish, that was in 93. Harley and Ivy, 93 as well, and The Man Who Killed Batman, the 49th episode aired, was in February of 93. So for the first season, she's in 5 episodes, and then after that, she gets a comic book. So
she does. Well, so she debuts actually in Batman Adventures number 12,
right,
which was like that's her first appearance officially in comic book form,
which is
like it was an animated it was a comic book kind of based on the animated series.
Right, it's the same Bruce Timm designs. It's a Batman the Animated Series comic book. So that's the first time she ever shows up in comics. So she did the reverse thing. Instead of taking a comic book character and making it into a movie like they do now, they found one so popular that they just made up for one episode, and she becomes this icon and this villain, instantly solidified as a great villain slash henchwoman.
Yes.
And so in the second season, she does four episodes, Trial, Harlequinade, Harley's Holiday, and Lockup, which she has a small part in. They interview her. And then in season three, this is when they change to the new animation style. It's correct. Holiday Nights is the first episode. It's a really good episode. And she kicks that off. There's an episode called Harley's Holiday, Joker's Millions, and then Mad Love, which is the 24th episode of the new Adventures of Batman and Robin. It's weird because the time gap with this, it shows me, from what I found, January 16th of 1999. I didn't realize it went on that long. Huh.
Well, I mean, one of my episodes, I mean, is for sure from like 98.
Yeah, no, I think that what I didn't realize originally is there must have been a gap between the animated series.
I think they stopped doing the Batman stuff and focused on Superman.
Okay, and then they probably went back to
to Batman.
That makes sense. They would play those Superman and Batman series back to back.
Correct.
And it created that hour. It was like the Batman Superman hour. Yes. But it was really just Superman and the new Adventures of Batman and Robin mixed together.
Mixed together, correct.
So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing to see how that character blew up and was so popular. And, of course, today, I mean, now we're getting her in movies, her in her own movie. She's got her own animated series on the DC Universe app. The character has blown up. But, you know, going back to the animated series is always fun, not just because I love the show, but it's interesting to see how they evolved her. You know, she was such a different Harley. We touched upon this in our Birds of Prey episode, but, you know, she was just kind of like a lovable goofball assistant to the Joker. She's always fawning over Joker. She's goofy. You know, she always gets caught because she's just silly. And Joker always gets caught, too. I mean, at the end of the day.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, is they always
got caught. Right. And so, you know, I touched upon that in our last episode. But it's like, I love this series, and Joker was always my favorite. I always loved a Harley episode. But at the end, they did something goofy. Harley screwed it up, or just Batman was that good. And they get put in Arkham, right? That's what you want from these episodes.
Yes.
So I really enjoyed, though, going back, and I watched most of the Harley episodes just to, you know, refresh myself on them, and they're really fun. I like that dynamic, and I'll tell you, I like it a lot more than the like mean, cruel Joker and Harley dynamic they've done, you know, up until they split her off on her own. You know, she's
and I think that's the writing down. I want to make sure when we talk about our episodes that I actually have the numbers.
Sure.
The thing that the movies have done is they have doubled down on the sadistic side of the Joker, which is fine.
Sure.
I think that character deserves to have that. But when you introduce Harley into this equation, you create some problems with Joker's personality where he's not, like, he raped her. He broke her mind. He did things to her, that when you see them in animated form, you don't really think about. You know, because the relationship is very different. It's,
well, he just doesn't show any interest in her. That's the thing, is she, you know, in the animated, this animated series, she follows him around like a puppy dog. She loves him. And he's not romantic with her. He doesn't kiss her. They don't, you know, like they're not really a couple.
There is one, I'm trying to think of the episode where she's like prancing around in front of him in like a tiny, she's got like her mask on. But she's prancing around in front of him while he's trying to draw up a scheme, mm-hmm. basically. Yeah. And she's in like a little nightie, and it's very Bruce Timm
right.
pinup mm-hmm. nightie. But that's kind of the first time I remember seeing that version of Harley. Mm-hmm. You know, but you're right. She is kind of just as she's in love with him. He likes having her around.
Yeah.
But there is no you know, there's no relationship talk.
Well, I think, and this is a good point to segue into the episode that I mentioned earlier, which is Harley and Ivy. It's the 47th episode aired of the animated series. So I think it was in like the volume 2 collection. But that episode is very much, I think, a setup and inspiration for Birds of Prey when you go back and watch it. Because,
because
Harley
true.
Has left the Joker. Joker throws her out. Sound familiar? Joker literally tosses Harley out on the street, and that's what happens at the beginning of Birds of Prey, and Harley has to find self-worth. Now, what's great about Harley and Ivy is that you have Poison Ivy there to help her along, and Ivy to say, why do you let this guy treat you like that? It's very...
Right.
And also, for this being back in 1993, Paul Dini wrote this at a time where, you know, we weren't living in the Me Too era, and we weren't...
No.
And women didn't have as many opportunities in Hollywood and all that stuff, and in general. And I what I really like is that Paul Dini knows how to write a strong female character.
He does, without being
woke,
heavy-handed.
Yeah, he's not woke.
Yeah, woke.
It's not
woke,
right? I mean, if you do it right. But that's the great thing. So when you go back and watch this episode from 93, Ivy is like, you don't need a man that treats you like that. Why do you fall all over him? Why do you do this stuff? You need to be Harley Quinn on your own. And so it's a really, really good episode, but it definitely is inspiration for this movie because Harley goes out on her own. Joker throws her out. She ends up doing her own stuff. And also
getting the hyenas, right? Like that's in this episode?
I can't remember if that's in that one or not. Joker had the hyenas, I think, originally.
Oh, okay.
They're his pets. But what happens in the beginning, though, is they pull off a heist and Harley is underappreciated. She gets a huge diamond and he doesn't appreciate her for doing it. And that's pretty much in the movie how it starts off, is that she did something and helped him, and Joker and his goons are all laughing over it. And she's like, hey, what about me? And he's like, get out of here. So, really fun. Go back and watch that, especially if you've recently seen Birds of Prey. And I like how they drew inspiration from this. But she goes out on her own and she tries to do her thing. She's friends with Ivy. They go and do their crimes and all that stuff. And at the end of the day, though, they end up in prison, all of them. And Harley Quinn, Joker's like, basically, like, I never want to see you again. And Harley's like, yeah, I think we still have a chance. She's still, you know.
She just refuses
to give
in.
Yeah, she's still infatuated with him. So nothing really changes at the end of the day. But it was a really good episode to see Harley start to discover that she has self-worth and that she could do stuff without Joker. And really good.
And that's kind of where she is in the comics. They have... she's had her own comic for a while and they have completely distanced her from the Joker.
Yeah.
Like that's not even a thing anymore. I mean, she was the leader of Suicide Squad at one point and it was just, so they have completely turned her, you know, I have issues with the rest of the DC heroes like welcoming her into the
fold.
After
she murdered people endlessly.
Right. So there's a whole scene in recent comics where Superman has revealed his identity to the world. Mm. So that everybody knows that he's Clark Kent. And so like there's a double page spread of him surrounded by the Justice League, and who's sitting front and center at the Justice League table,
of course,
but Harley Quinn. And it's just like, look, if you want to give her own book and make her kind of like this Deadpool style character,
make her an anti-hero, right? Set her up.
But she has no business sitting at the table with the Justice, with Batman and Robin and Superman and Wonder Woman. It's like, she's a bad guy.
These are,
like, she's murdered people.
Yeah, Justice League, these are infallible characters.
Yeah,
I mean, Batman.
That would be like Dr. Doom sitting at the table with Captain
America. Yeah, because he did some good stuff. Now he's just welcome.
Yeah, right.
That's the thing. That's what I mentioned on the show, and what I'll say again here, is that I want my heroes and villains separate. You can give them their own stories, and I love the Harley and Ivy episode, but at the end of the day, guess where they end up? They're back in Arkham.
Right.
They are villains, and you can enjoy a villain story, and you can watch villains. And they could be,
or you could even be like, you could walk that line, you know, you could be the Punisher,
yeah,
and still be a hero but still kind of a villain.
True,
but you don't get to sit with the Avengers when you're the Punisher.
Exactly. So that's the thing that I loved, was this episode she goes out on her own, she does crimes with Ivy and all that, but at the end of the day she's in jail. And you know, and at the end of the movie, I don't think I'm spoiling anything, we'll just say at the end of Birds of Prey she rides off into the sunset because
nobody saw it anyway.
But you want, they want to make more Harley Quinn movies, they want to make her a good guy. And knowing all the terrible things she's done, whether it's in the Suicide Squad universe or the comic book universe, it just doesn't work for me. And
she works in a Suicide Squad setting.
Well, because yeah, because they're right. I just,
you know, like yeah. I can, that works for me, but like having her,
but the Suicide Squad is all villains, exactly, right? So like, exactly. I'm just saying that I don't, it doesn't work for me, Harley just being a hero on her own. I just, right. I don't want that. Cause it, in this animated series, you've got, you know, you've got Joker, you've got Riddler, you've got Mr. Freeze, you've got Poison Ivy, you've got Catwoman, you've got Bane,
you know, Mad Hatter.
Yeah, you've got the Ventriloquist,
Victor Zsasz. You've got all of the everybody.
Yeah, you got Killer Croc. You've got, you know, and then you have Harley Quinn. You have all these great characters, and I love seeing them and getting their own time and their own episodes.
Yeah.
But at the end of this episode, I never go, well, I sure do hope that Riddler reforms and becomes right. the new butler to Bruce Wayne. You know what I mean? Like I'm never like, oh, I just love this character. I hope he should, you know. It's like, no, you get to see these characters. They're great villains. They're great at what they do, which is being villains. And then you lock him up at the end and you restart.
And then you move on to the next day.
You don't kill him off. Right?
Right.
You don't.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You don't kill him off. You keep them alive so there can be a new episode about them. And you don't make him a hero.
Where did that killing them off thing come from? I don't understand.
Batman 89, the first.
I know. But, you know, like, so I can, like, 89's Batman, I can forgive because maybe the sequels weren't a thing.
They never in a million years thought.
They never thought they'd bring him back.
Where are you going to bring the Joker back when you're making a bet? Like, yeah.
Right. So I can accept that one.
Yeah.
But you know, even in the Marvel stuff, where I'm just like, why are you killing? What are you doing? Don't kill your villains. Like, you may need them to come back. And they kind of did that with Red Skull and Baron Zemo, where, like, those characters are still floating around.
They did it with Heath Ledger Joker.
What do you mean?
Even Nolan kept him alive.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, right. Yeah. I was like, he's not alive.
Well, they did. I didn't say they did with Heath Ledger, unfortunately. I mean, that's, right. Of course, tragic. But the smart thing to do.
Here, okay, I'm glad. Yeah. Hey, real quick. Has an actor, has anybody ever won an Academy Award? Two different actors, same character?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either. Like, I couldn't think of a character that would get, that would, you know, be
that would be really hard to do. That would be really, really hard to do. To end up playing the same character in a different movie and both be the caliber to win the best award of the year, you know, the best acting.
Right. Well, he didn't win best actor, did he?
Oh, I'm sorry, supporting actor.
Heath Ledger won
best actor. Oh, so they haven't won the same award. You're right. One's best actor, one's supporting.
Oh, I guess that's true. But has any character
won an Oscar?
Won an Oscar. Not saying either, you know, either one. Yeah.
I
don't think so.
I'm not saying
this is why we need
no, I don't think so either. It's still rare. Obviously, the separating the two doesn't make it like, oh, well, best actor, yeah. But you know what I mean?
I know. Yeah.
It's still a freaking Oscar, and you had to beat everyone else for the year. No, so I think that is amazing. That's an incredible accomplishment. And but
you don't see Christopher Reeve and Henry Cavill getting an Oscar for
right. It's
or Christian Bale and Michael Keaton.
Right. Well, Robert Pattinson though.
Okay. I don't think he'll win an Oscar.
I don't know.
He's gonna have to turn in something,
right?
If he's gonna be nominated for an Oscar.
I hope so. You know, I love Batman, and I think he's a great actor. So hey, I'm pulling for him.
Yeah. Why not?
So yeah,
just give me the suit,
right? I know it'll be exciting.
I know it exists. God damn it!
Well, and I heard it's gonna be like a more of a gray and blue type suit.
Cool. If he doesn't have eye lenses, I'm going to be pissed.
He's got to have.
Give me the goddamn white lenses.
Oh, that would be cool.
Have them like little computer screens where he can, I don't know, like run DMV photos and
just,
shit.
Just give us a good one. Just whatever it is. Just make it good.
Here's
please.
The thing is every Batman suit has been good.
That's true.
There's never been a bad.
You
Batman
like bat nipples?
I mean, okay, that's weird. but overall, they've been pretty good. Even the Christian Bale ones were good. The Affleck's that last Affleck one in Justice League is not.
You know
good.
What? I think the Christian Bale ones are my least favorite.
I don't like the Dark Knight suit. I do like the Begin suit.
But like even in Rises, I get what they're doing because the grounded feel that Nolan was going for. Hey, we want you to turn your neck and all that stuff. I totally get it. But just the way the cowl is detached and it just like it's round. Like yeah. I don't want him to have a round. Yeah. Softball head. It just
I don't like the Affleck suit where it looks like he covers up his chin.
I don't know.
That suit like goes up his neck, like all up his neck and like almost over his chin. Think, it's almost like the new 52 suit. I don't like
it. I think Affleck is one of the most intimidating Batmans of all time.
I don't have a problem with that suit.
He is huge. I think the suit, that gray, the Dark Knight inspired Frank Miller-esque stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think that's great. But
it's fine.
So yeah. Anyway,
I'm partial to the first Batman Keaton suit.
Oh, I hear you. I that will always be my favorite. It's
you know, there was a pitch for somebody to do the Batman 3 script as a comic. They were gonna do that as a comic.
I did hear that floating around, but
yes. It'd be interesting. Anyway, go
so
ahead.
Yeah. So back to this one. Harley is introduced. She becomes a huge character, and from here on out, I mean, like we already mentioned, she got her own comic books. She got the show. She first appeared in actual Batman canon in October of 1999 in Batman Harley Quinn, which was a part of the No Man's Land crossover.
In the DCU proper.
Yeah, in the actual canon of Batman. So yes. If you people have probably seen this iconic cover of this issue. It's the one where Joker's in a suit and Harley's in her jester outfit kind of hanging off of him.
Yeah.
It's Alex Ross, so of course it looks amazing.
Yes. Yep.
But that was written by Paul Dini as well for her first appearance.
It was.
She gets a series. She gets a Harley Quinn series from 2001 to 2003. Then she becomes a part of Birds of Prey in 2007. And then in 2009 and 2011, she's part of Gotham City Sirens, also written by Paul Dini.
Paul Dini and Gilliam March, I think, was the artist on that.
And this is what frustrated me about this new movie. So it was supposed to be a Gotham City Sirens movie.
Yes, that's what it should have been.
And so I think if you're going to have Harley go out on quote-unquote her own or make your first Harley Quinn movie, I would have loved to have seen her team up with Catwoman and Poison Ivy. I think
that's – I mean, maybe you flop out Catwoman.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that Zoe Kravitz is kind of doing that, and not kind of. She's doing that in the new movie. Yeah. But you could swap out Ivy for Huntress or for Black Canary.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that.
Not Ivy. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Catwoman.
That Journey Smollett would have been awesome as Catwoman.
She'd been really good. I don't get me wrong. Yeah. Black Canary is one of my favorite characters. So I was happy to see her on screen, but you ain't lying. Yeah. She would have been great as Selina Kyle.
She's so kick-ass in that movie. I think that in that role would have been awesome. I'm excited for Zoe Kravitz. I really wanted that Sirens movie, but they decided to delay that. And I mean,
I'm sure Paul Dini was like,
And I know, I mean, who knows what will happen in the future now, but they decided to delay that one and they made it a Birds of Prey movie. The problem is Harley isn't in the Birds of Prey.
No,
so
Barbara Gordon,
right? And there's no Gordon or any other Bat family in that movie. So you made a
big problem.
But so you made a Birds of Prey movie with Harley Quinn, making it her movie. She's not in the Birds of Prey. You don't even have all the people from Birds of Prey, and you get the Birds of Prey at the end of the movie. It's like it's like that stupid Russell Crowe Robin Hood movie. Do you remember?
Down? Yes, yes.
Where
he picks up the bow and arrow at the very end. He's Robin.
Exactly. He's Robin of Locksley the entire time, and at the end he picks up a bow and arrow, and I think he's like, "I am Robin Hood" or whatever.
I am Robin.
So they did one of those with it.
At least Taron Egerton had a bow and arrow the entire time.
Well, that's maybe one of the only positive things I can say about that movie.
Telling you that guy could be your Wolverine.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
They've already got. I mean, they got rid of Wyatt Russell, that's not
good.
Happen.
Thank goodness.
No way. Get out of here.
What?
He's Jack. He's the U.S. agent.
I know. I don't want him to be Wolverine though. I don't know.
His dad was what Wolverine.
So it's not an inherited role, unfortunately, Joe. I'm sorry to tell you. So she did the Gotham City Sirens series from 09 to 11, and then the new 52 came out. So that was a whole reboot of the character. She's a part of the Suicide Squad.
They give her the movie look. She's got like the pigtails and the Daddy's Little Monster shirt. They give her the whole movie reboot treatment.
Right, and so that's when New 52 happened, that's when you really got the Harley that's the anti-hero. They realize how popular that character is, and so all of her comics since then have been the bad guy who maybe her motivations aren't the greatest, but
she's dead. They turned her into Deadpool.
Yeah, she still has a heart to her where she'll save people, and maybe sometimes it's begrudgingly, she doesn't want to do it, but she has that conscience, which the Harley previously did not. I mean, she was just a bad guy.
Did not. Yeah. It's a bad guy.
Yep. So, yeah, and that's kind of where we are today. So now, of course, we've got these live-action films. We still have her showing up in comics and the animated series type stuff. Harley's got her own TV show. So Harley Quinn, from all those many years ago in 1992, I mean, that's where it all started.
So that's a long, it's a good
yeah,
run.
Yeah, and it all happened because of this animated series. So really cool yeah. trivia and to find out where she came from. So now, Joe, I want to ask you and share with you my favorite Batman the Animated Series episodes, and I figured we can kind of go back and forth, and I anticipated some crossover, so I actually chose 10 episodes. Just
I picked up a couple episodes just in
perfect.
Case.
Perfect. Yeah. And, you know, we don't have to go super in-depth about them, but we can just talk about why we like them, why we think they're one of the best. So first of all,
can we both agree right now yeah. just to take Heart of Ice off the table?
Well, I mean, I do have backups.
I do as well. So if you've seen this, you know this is the one that put this animated series above everything else. It's the first appearance of Mr. Freeze, and it's the whole gives you Freeze's whole background as to why he's doing what he's doing, and it is a tour de force in animation and storytelling. It's almost this will always on every single list. This will be in the top 5.
Oh, absolutely.
If not the top 3.
Yeah, it's a two-part episode. It's incredible. Again,
I think it's season 1 episode 3 and 4.
Okay. I didn't feel like it was that early on. I feel like it was in the back half, but I
was looking it up and it listed it as season Batman the Animated Series season 1 episode 3.
Okay. Interesting. And you know what's weird about that though is like they produced those episodes really strangely and then aired them at different times.
Yes.
And then, of course, there were reruns. So it's really hard to pin down sometimes what that means. And then if you have them on digital, they go into 4 volumes.
They're even weirder.
But then they're all mixed around. So, yeah, it's a very strange thing. But either way.
Putting them on Plex was not easy, let me tell you that.
Right. I'm so glad I started copying my DVDs to files so I could watch them. And then that digital yeah. came out. And I'm like, oh, thank God, I don't have to do this anymore. And they look better. And anyway.
They do look
so,
better, yeah.
But that episode gives you that backstory, and I can't remember. No, you're the comic guy. You'll have to correct me if I'm mistaken. But is this the first time we get the whole Nora Freeze? Like,
I don't think okay. so. I feel like that's always been his motivation, as long as I can
but
remember.
Like in '66, I mean, he's just a goofy villain.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
was he on the episode?
He was in episodes.
Yeah, they didn't do the Two-Face episode. There was a Two-Face episode that was written for the animated series for 66, and they never did it. And then they actually produced it as a comic book and then as an animated movie.
Okay. But yeah, definitely. I mean, I do remember from 66 Mr. Freeze, but I think he was just villain of the week. What's his catch? Oh, he freezes stuff. Mr. Freeze.
Right.
And so I don't remember, but my introduction, at least to Mr. Freeze, I didn't know what his story was until I saw the animated series, and that it's, oh, he's this way to, you know, try to save his wife's life. And
right. He froze his wife because she's got some rare form of rare disease, and he's been trying to cure the disease ever since.
Yeah.
This is actually, unfortunately, a big part of the plot in Batman and Robin.
Oh yeah, true.
That this is Freeze's main goal, and Alfred gets the same disease all of a sudden somehow. I don't know.
I mean, to be fair though, at least they're being true in that movie to the character's backstory,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're.
You've got Arnold Schwarzenegger doing ice puns, but you know,
there you go. Hey, you know, but we'll get into that another time. I still have my opinions on those movies. So yeah, great episode. Absolutely. So we'll just put that as a combined.
We'll take that one. That one gets the pass. That's
okay.
So I'll let you go first. You hit me with what you
one of my absolute favorite episodes of all time. And I don't necessarily have these as like 1, 2, 3, but they're in my top episodes. Perchance to Dream.
Oh, that's on my list. I'll take
it. Has to be because Perchance to Dream. Batman, Bruce Wayne. Well, Bruce Wayne isn't Batman.
Season 1, episode 26.
Okay, thank you. He wakes up and his parents are there, and he's talking.
He's got a girlfriend, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's got a whole. I think he's engaged, but his parents are there. That's and if you've seen these episodes and you've seen how Kevin Conroy, I mean, we haven't even mentioned the name of the Batman, Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, he is the Batman. That's true.
Is, always has been, and always will be Batman. That voice is iconic. There's no one else. I mean, when you read the comics, I think of his voice, just like Mark Hamill's Joker, iconic. So if you know from these episodes and how touching they can be and the heart that they put into them, and Bruce Wayne talking about his parents and seeing a picture of his parents, and you know how much, you know.
His parents are the reason he's Batman.
Exactly. It's the whole catalyst to this thing. And of course he misses them dearly and he's very upset by what happened and all that good stuff. So when you see him get to say like dad, and I mean
right.
the emotion that Conroy puts into the lines and the confusion and also the just the joy and the amazement of him getting to see his parents.
When he has to fight Batman at the end.
Yeah, and so but he's like he's like pulling books and the bookshelf isn't,
the boards are all jumbled.
But it's like the bookshelf isn't opening. There's no bat pole. Alfred.
Right.
He's like, where's the suit or something like that? And Alfred's like, he's like, are you okay? And so he's of course in his normal Batman mind, and so he's freaked out. Like, there is no Batman. The parents are here. What is going on? And so he goes through this whole episode, and I don't know if I necessarily want to spoil it for people, because I think a lot of people listening may not have seen all these episodes, but he eventually finds out why his parents are alive and all this stuff. And then Batman shows up. So Bruce Wayne is walking around and sees Batman, and he has to fight him. Like you said, it is such a good episode.
It's very reminiscent of the Alan Moore, Dave Gibbons story about Superman, for the man who has everything, mm-hmm. and where Superman wakes up on Krypton. His parents are alive. He's got a wife and a son and everything, but you know, there's a reason that we're here. But to piggyback off that one, one of my favorites is from the new Batman Adventures season 1 episode 11, Over the Edge.
Which is a
very similar episode, but in this one Batgirl dies and lands on Commissioner Gordon's car. Commissioner Gordon takes her mask off. Obviously it's Barbara. Yeah. And he turns on Batman, and Batman becomes a fugitive, and Batman's on the run from the GCPD, and Gordon is like a man possessed. They figure out who Batman is, and he starts tearing it apart.
That's a good one.
And it is a great, you know, they've arrested Dick Grayson, they've arrested Nightwing, like Batman's world is falling apart. Kind of like Perchance a Dream, there's a reason this is happening, and I don't want to give that away. But yeah, I actually picked both of those back to back because I thought they were very similar episodes.
Yeah, no, that's great. I had forgotten about that one. And again, I don't watch the New Adventures as much as the animated series.
New Adventures is really good.
It's good. It's solid. I mean, I love them all. I mean, really, I'm so, I don't know. I'm so in love with that original animation style that I seem to go back and rewatch more. But I mean, Katie and me and Ryan, I mean, we've gone through and watched this series over and over. We love watching these episodes. That is a really good one. I'm going to have to add that to my list to rewatch. Yeah. But I think the reason why we love these episodes in particular, these two, is I'm fascinated by the psychology behind Batman and Bruce Wayne and his thinking. Whenever they dive deep into...
I like watching Batman lose.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting point too.
Because it doesn't happen often.
Sure, but I mean, if you think of that psychology, and he has to figure out what's going on, and then you get someone like Commissioner Gordon, who now is struggling between his friend, someone that who has helped him and captured these villains and cleaned up the streets and worked alongside
him. But now he's gotten his daughter.
Yeah,
hurt.
But now what'd you get my daughter into? That kind of psychology of what would a grieving father do in that case? And I things that explore that rather than like, hey, a bad guy planted a bomb, punch, kick. Okay, that was cool, but there's... It may be entertaining, but there's not as much to chew on there. And these episodes provide so much context into their mind and their struggles, like even a superhero or a police commissioner can go through.
Well, that's what I think none of the movies or other TV shows since have been able to capture is that, and do it correct, do it well. I think the Nolan stuff has a pretty good penchant for why he does what he does, but there's just a different level of understanding of Batman and the Batman world that Bruce Timm and Paul Dini and Alan Burkett had that I don't think anybody else has gotten.
That's why these guys should be consulting on every project.
I totally agree.
Again,
maybe not all the projects, but definitely Batman.
Every Batman project. That's what I mean. These guys understand Batman. This animated series captured everything about the Dark Knight, about Bruce Wayne, what kind of person he is, what he would do, what he wouldn't do, and everything down to the villains and the scenery and it all matches the tone of Batman, and they really got the character right. So I wholeheartedly agree. They really should get a chance to do more with the character, because they've...
And Paul Dini actually understands Superman.
Yeah.
Like, Paul Dini, he was part of Alan Burkett and Bruce Timm. They were all part of Superman the Animated Series and Justice League. So it's like, they get it. They know what they're doing. Stop putting them on the back.
Right.
Bring those guys
in. I know, and stop trying to make these new crummy versions that just don't capture the character properly. I don't know what, I don't know why they keep trying to, instead of going to what works, they keep making these new animated films, for instance, where, there's been a couple good ones recently, but a lot of them have been misses, and they just don't seem, just don't seem to capture whether it is not the right voice actor or it's just not, it doesn't seem like what the character would do, or, you know, they just have weird, they just feel weird a lot of times. And these guys know what they're doing. Okay, so let's go to my next on the list, and we're going to get a Joker-centric episode, and I actually already mentioned it earlier. It is the first appearance of Harley Quinn in Joker's favor.
Okay.
I love this episode. So the episode starts off with this guy who's having the worst day. He's stuck in traffic, and he didn't get the promotion at work. People are cutting.
You know what? That's not what I thought this episode was.
You're thinking it was, thought it was the mayor one when he's at the birthday party. I love that episode too, and I can't think of what it's called, but I do get those confused sometimes.
Okay,
so this one is about the Charlie, the guy that's driving on the highway, and so after he's had the worst day, he gets cut off by a station wagon, and he decides this is his moment. I'm not going to be trampled on or walked on anymore. I'm going to give it to this guy, you know, let him have what is or whatever. So he speeds up and he pulls up to the station wagon that cut him off, and he starts basically, like, you know, road rage.
He starts motherfucking.
I mean, he's cursing. He's cursing him out. He's waving his arm and everything. Why you blah blah blah. And all of a sudden, from out of the shadow, you see the Joker grinning at him, and he turns his fist into an open hand and waves at him, and he speeds off. And the Joker tails him, and he follows him everywhere he goes. And every time he changes lanes, the Joker gets behind him. It's such a creepy, like, sinister, like, the Joker's always smiling, but he's doing his Joker thing.
That's a great episode.
And he eventually catches up with him, and this guy's, like, running through the woods. He crashes his car trying to get away from him, and Joker catches up, and he says, "Give me your wallet." He takes down his name, his address, and he says, "I'm going to call you someday, and I'm going to ask you a favor." And so that's such an ominous thing of the, like, you know, you owe me a favor. You don't know when or where, but I'm going to call, and you have to honor this. Like, that's what the Joker demanded for what he did. And so they flash forward 3 years later, and he's changed his identity. He's moved his family. And of course he gets a phone call, and
he gets phone call from the Joker.
So you, later on the episode, you find out what it is the favor is that he's asking for. Harley Quinn is there, of course, as the sidekick, you know, and I like a lot of Joker episodes. I think because this is the first appearance of Harley, I give it some bonus points. And I also the ominous idea of that whole "you owe me a favor" thing, but you don't know what it is.
Right.
And I also like the humor in it too, because when you find out what the favor is, it's pretty ridiculous. What better than that for the Joker to be sadistic and crazy and follow you and ask for a favor 3 years later, and then have it be a joke? Like,
exactly.
It's great.
Messing with the guy the entire
time. Yeah, so I feel like it captures the Joker. It captures that character. It's fun. It's funny to watch. And then you get to see Harley for the first time. So that would be one of my definite top fives.
Okay, it's a good one. So going off of the – well, there's two of them, two episodes kind of back-to-back that I think work really well together. Batman the Animated Series Season 1, Episode 51 and Episode 53 is actually titled Robin's Reckoning.
Yep, it's on my list.
Which is the origin of Robin, the Dick Grayson.
Love
Robin.
It. Yep, because that's when he's Nightwing, right? Because isn't he telling the flashback?
No,
that's not the one where he tells the flashback of how they got.
There's two. There's nine.
Oh.
So he's Robin. This is just it's a Robin story where he becomes Robin and he figures out he's working the case where he figures out who killed his parents and why his parents.
Okay,
were killed.
No, that is I remember that and I love that one. For some reason, I thought it's the one where he's telling Tim Drake
that is
okay,
on my list.
Okay,
as well.
Continue on. Sorry.
Yes, and it's just Robin Dick Grayson is probably top three of my DC characters. I love Nightwing. That was one of the first books I remember picking up on the reg at the comic shop. Yeah. So anytime, and he wouldn't show up all the time on the animated series, but when he did, like, those were the episodes that always stood out. So when we get this story of he understands why Batman won't cross that line, and Batman kind of tries to talk him out of it, but also kind of like, you got to figure this out for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I can't hold your hand and tell you not to kill, Zuko, you know, Tony Zuko. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that is a great two. It's weird that it's not back to back. There's an episode in between there, and I don't know what that is, but it's episode 51 and 53 of season one of Batman the Animated
Series.
But, you know, and it's a fantastic episode.
There may have been some weird production, maybe. They wanted you to watch more and leave you. I don't know. The episodes are so strange, but, of course, when you watch them on digital or DVD, they're back to back. So that's how you're going to watch them, is part one and part two. But, yeah, no, that's great. I love that when you see how Robin became Robin, and like you mentioned.
And how he's different.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, he's not Bruce.
No, that's
like, he's not.
Yeah, that struggle he has, because what is a person to do when you know who murdered your parents, right? How does someone?
Well, also there's a darkness in Batman that is not in Dick Grayson. Mm-hmm. Like, Dick Grayson, Batman is Batman because he has to be. Dick Grayson is Robin because he loves it.
Yeah,
he loves to be Robin. There's a really good when Bruce Wayne died in the comics, mm-hmm. and Dick Grayson took over as Batman. There was I think Judd Winnick and Mark Bagley did an issue where he was just getting out there as Batman. And there's his Joker, Dick Grayson's Joker, is Two-Face. Mm. And he sees Batman on TV, Harvey Dent does. And he's like, that's not him. And everybody's like, what do you mean? Of course it's Batman. He was like, he never would have allowed himself to be seen on TV. And he's smiling.
Hmm.
Like, that never happened. Batman never smiled.
Interesting.
He said that's the kid.
Yeah.
So it was just like there's just a different when he's Batman or when he's in that role, there's just a different vibe to him, and I think that's the vibe that I like.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love that episode because it was that first intro for people that didn't grow up with reading the comics or necessarily, you know, watching any of the previous stuff. You know, it gives you that backstory, which is, it's interesting to learn about, but also, as you said, finding out who Dick Grayson is as a person and how he wants revenge, and having that father figure of Bruce and Batman trying to teach him to do the right thing, and how killing Zuko isn't going to bring your parents back. You know, it isn't going to make you feel better. And, you know, Bruce has...
It's going to make you feel worse.
Bruce, who else better to say that than Bruce, who's dealt with... Do you, in this episode, get the flashback to what happened with Joe Chill, or is that another one? I can't remember
if he tells
Robin, like, when he's trying to make him understand, because there is an episode where Bruce goes back and he finds Joe Chill, and that's another great episode.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I don't think so. I think this one's all kind of based around Robin.
Well, great choice. That's funny, because so I have that down, but... And I do love it.
I think I know which one you've got.
Yeah. I love that one where you find out, why did Dick Grayson go out on his own? And
yeah, because he had sex with Batgirl.
Oh, you're never going to let that one go.
It's in the comics. It exists. Uh-huh.
So anyway, okay, good choice. So I will take that off my list, and I will go to definitely one of my top five episodes here. And I think a lot of people will agree. The Man Who Killed Batman.
Yeah, not on my list, but also an amazing choice.
So I watched this one last night again, and
it's the little guy, right?
Yes. It's so good. It's, I can't remember whoever the crime boss was. It's not like Falcone. It's whoever in the animated series.
Sal Maroney?
Maroney? That sounds right.
Maybe.
Okay. So this guy is like some random henchman lieutenant in the mob. He's a nobody, right?
Sure.
And so he basically accidentally, because he's just a klutz, and he accidentally stumbles into what appears to be killing Batman. And so it's all about this guy and his bad luck and trying to figure out, like, what happened here? Like, how could I have killed Batman? And you follow him around, and it's really good in the fact that Batman isn't in most of the episode because he's supposed to be dead. Right. I mean, not to give too much away, but you know, it is Batman in a series called Batman. So Batman's probably not dead. I think most people could pick up on it, but yeah, it's just a really interesting episode. And the fact that Batman isn't in most of it, and it's such a good episode, I think speaks wonders to the writing, because these writers that that worked on this show were so good at what they did. And you get Joker, you get Two-Face, you get a, like, Joker throws an impromptu funeral because Joker realizes, as he does in a lot of these movies and comics, like, he wouldn't exist if it weren't for Batman. They keep each other going. And
yeah,
so
I'm trying to think of who the voice, I think Matt Fuhr is the voice of that guy. The guy, oh, Max Headroom, and he was the dad that gets bit by the zombie in Zack Snyder's remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, that's funny. You think he was the voice of the little?
I think he's the voice of the little guy. I think so.
That's funny. But yeah, it's a really good episode, a really well-written episode, and it's so entertaining without seeing the main character of the series, which I got to give it huge props.
You see a cowl.
but I won't spoil it where it goes down to. But yeah, Joker is mad at him because he killed Batman. Even
correct.
Though Joe, because he's one of those, like, if anyone's going to kill him,
it's gonna be me.
So he is mad that he took him away. And you see other villains. So you see other characters that you know. You see Commissioner Gordon and Bullock finding out that Batman's dead. You see what the reaction is with all these characters that are part of the Bat universe. But you don't see Batman or Robin really in the episode. And so it's interesting to see how people would react if he were to actually die.
Right.
And in the end, it's really funny. And what ends up happening to this little guy, again, I don't even remember what his name was, but whatever happened. Yeah. The little guy. It's just funny to see, Sydney is his name.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But he's just like this bumbling henchman that stumbled into and these people think he's like an amazing crime boss.
Sure.
Because,
yeah. He's like sitting at the head of the table.
Yeah. Cause he killed Batman. Right, yeah. Right. Fun episode.
So to piggyback off my last episode, we're going to go with the new Batman Adventures season 2, episode 5, Old Wounds.
That's
this
what it is.
This is the one where
Dick
Grayson is telling Tim Drake the story about why he quit.
Yep. And as soon as you said that title, I knew exactly what that was.
And that is probably one of my favorite Batman episodes of all time, because I love it when Dick Grayson takes no shit off of Bruce and lays him out in one, the hilarious one punchline from Justice League, where Batman punches Guy Gardner in the face.
Yeah.
And this is the same deal where basically I'm not 100% sure as to what Barbara, like what the secret was, but like Barbara and Dick are a couple. They're a couple that's, the one that's not always together, but always together. Mm-hmm. Like that's one of those things that's very constant, and they keep a secret from Dick Grayson, between Bruce and Barbara. And basically Dick had enough. He's like, Barbara says he didn't do it. He's like, that's what he wants you to think. That's what he makes you believe, is that this is your choice, but it's not. Like, he's manipulating you just like he did me. And he's like, Batman's like, it wasn't my place to tell you. And he was like, whatever. And he quits. He goes to walk away. Batman kind of puts his hand on his shoulder, and Dick turns around and levels him in one punch, takes off the mask, takes off the cape, and throws it in his face. And quits. And I think it's one of the best. I love that. I love that episode so much. Just to see, and that's the origin of Nightwing. Like, that's no more Robin. He broke off on his own and he goes and leaves. And I do like that even he doesn't hold any ill will towards Dick or towards Tim.
Sure.
Like they kind of have this in the comics, at least they have like a brother relationship where, they like each other. They're very close.
Mm-hmm.
Dick will always be the first Robin. And it's interesting that there's never any mention of Jason. They don't.
You mean in these in the animated episodes?
In the movies there are, but in the animated series, there's no talk of it. Goes from Dick to Jason or from Dick to Tim.
I mean, it's a complicated story.
It is.
I can see how they didn't want to get into that because, is complex and as I don't want to say adult because they're not anything that kids can't watch, but as sophisticated
a killing joke episode would not work.
Exactly. It's sophisticated.
No, I'm sorry, not killing joke, but Death in the Family.
Yeah.
Which will be an animated movie soon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
But it just this series wasn't getting into that. Joker,
no.
As much as Joker gave people smiles and stuff. Usually there was an anti-vaccine or whatever. They didn't just straight up murder people in this show. That's the thing. The crimes were goofy. Joker, I mean, in one of the episodes, Joker makes all the fish have smiles that look like his face, and then he goes to a copyright office and tries to sue everyone for eating fish or using fish in their products because the fish look like him. Those were the plot lines. And the show was definitely not as goofy as Batman 66, but it still pulled in fun, goofy elements.
It had that vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a dark and more serious, but Joker would always be silly, and Joker isn't just murdering people straight up. So that's why we don't get a Jason Todd Robin.
Probably the best.
But no, that is just a great episode. That one was what I really meant to put down, even though I do love the other one. But yeah, it's interesting.
I think Robin's Reckoning is a better episode.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy a good Batman punch to the face.
No doubt. Absolutely. All right. So this one is because of nostalgia and because of my love for Batman 66. I think you'll probably know what episode I'm going to pick now.
Is it the new Batman Adventures episode 2, season 6?
You are really on top of things with your numbers. I didn't actually categorize them all during the middle of the podcast.
That's a problem.
But no, I don't think it is, because I think there's maybe another one. But you tell me if I'm wrong. Another one of my favorites of all time, Beware the Gray Ghost.
Oh, no, that's on my list.
Okay.
That's season 1, episode 32.
There you go. Yeah, I was pretty sure it was in the original series. So this episode is so, so great because they give Bruce Wayne a hero that he watched and grew up with as a kid. They give Bruce Wayne a superhero who is inspiration for Batman.
Yep.
And it is the character is called the Gray Ghost, and he had merchandise, and he had a TV show and a radio show.
TV show as much as was it
radio series?
Or was it serials?
Well, he had him on the comic. The store owner, I thought, had him on tape. I thought it was
maybe
a video.
You're right. Okay,
so I'm pretty sure it was TV because you see clips from it.
You do.
So the Gray Ghost had this TV series, and he was there's deer in my backyard trying to hump each other. Okay. Oh,
go get them, buddy.
Jeez. Yeah. I didn't expect that kind of
action. It's cuffing season.
There's four deer in
my
backyard.
Oh, my God. It's an orgy.
Why did they're not all, but I just saw one jump on the other one's back. Anyway, sorry about that. a little distracting. So the Gray Ghost had this series, and Bruce watched him as a kid. And so at the end of the episode, we find out he was an inspiration for Batman, but there's clearly things you can pick up on that are similar. And he had a fedora on, and he had goggles, and he had a trench coat. And but the thing that's so great and so perfect about this is they get him to be voiced by none other than Adam West.
Yeah.
So
great.
The fact that they pulled in Adam West to do a voice on the animated series.
Is this his first voiceover work?
I really feel like it is. I don't remember him.
Right? I mean, obviously he was the mayor of Quahog, but
I don't remember Adam West ever showing up as voices in anything.
Nope.
It's a really great show and a really great episode, and it has this mystery element to it because meanwhile there's like these little bombings around town. And so Batman
they're using like gadgets from the Gray Ghost TV show, right?
They're using plot lines from the episode. So Bruce Wayne, or you know, Batman as Bruce Wayne, recalls from he was a kid, and he would recall each episode of the Gray Ghost. So he starts putting the puzzle pieces together and says every one of these crimes is a plot line. And so he goes through and he goes and he talks to the Gray Ghost, the actor, I can't remember what the character in the show that played him is, but whoever Adam West is voicing, he goes and talks to him and tries to find old episodes and memorabilia. And anyway, he goes down the whole rabbit hole. Another great display of Bruce Wayne's detective work as Batman. And he solves the mystery. So I really love it because of the plot and everything, and it gets those bonus points for bringing in Adam West.
That was a good call.
So cool that they decided to do that. And yeah, it's really heartwarming and touching too, because Bruce Wayne and this actor character, they connect on this level where, you know, Bruce Wayne's a fan. He's like a fanboy of the Gray Ghost. And so he ends up saying how much he inspired him. And it's just a really neat episode.
It's a very good one. So I was thinking outside the box a little bit. There's a couple episodes. I may save those to the end just as like honorable mentions.
Sure.
But one of the ones that I was thinking of is also from the new Batman Adventures Season 2, Episode 6, previously mentioned, called Legends of the Dark Knight.
Exactly. And that is on my list as well.
Excellent.
Love it.
And this is three different there's these kids telling stories about what they think Batman is, because they've never seen him. Mm-hmm. Just what they think he is. And what the creators do is they take three different Batmen. So you've got the Dick Sprang original OG golly chum Batman.
Like with Jerry Robinson, Joker,
yeah, and all kinds of stuff. You've got Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, voiced by Powers Booth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember the third one.
So I got confused about that too, and I went back and watched it. I think there's only two. There's three kids, and that's why it gets confusing.
And then the third is an actual villain in real Batman.
Yeah. So there's three.
That makes sense.
There's three kids, and one of them is talking about. So what happens is someone, spoilers, Firefly is setting fires around town,
right?
And so the kids see a newspaper, and it says, you know, whatever, fires, and one of the kids goes, oh, Batman's gonna get him, Batman's the best, no way he'll get away from him. And then these other two kid friends talk about what Batman is like,
right?
And so the one tells the old 50s one, the other one tells the Dark Knight one.
I love the Dark Knight. It's crazy that the Dark Knight one went on to become a movie.
Oh my god, because it's like when I saw The Dark Knight, which I love, that's definitely one of the best animated films.
The Dark Knight Returns one.
The Dark Knight Returns, yes.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I'm like, this seems familiar, like the animation, like
everything. Right.
Like they captured in this little 10-minute segment so well the Dark Knight Returns artwork and the tone
and
of it.
The
and
the voice,
everything.
The Powers Booth voice for that Batman
it's good.
Is spot on.
It's really good. So
yeah,
and then after they tell their two stories, they end up leaving the house and they're walking down the street, and who's there?
The real Batman.
No, well, not quite yet, but do you remember who they run out into on the street?
No.
Their friend Joel?
Oh, sure. And he's very affluent. Not affluent,
no.
But feminine.
Yes. So their friend Joel.
That's right. I forgot all about that.
He's
yeah.
wrapping himself in a pink boa. He starts
describing a Batman, and you're just like, oh, that's...
You cannot get away with this these days.
Oh, absolutely not.
But fact is, what he's doing is they're making fun of
Joel Schumacher
Batman. And he's like, I love Batman and his rubber and his whatever.
Right.
And then they just walk past him and they're like, yeah, whatever, Joel.
Okay.
Really funny little jab
at
Joel Schumacher.
That's hilarious.
But then they end up at the theater or whatever, and Firefly's there and Batman saves the day. And
there it is. Yeah, but that's a good one.
What a great I love that when that is kind of that outside the box. You don't expect people to be telling stories and to show their versions of, you know, their recollections or what they think, you know, this character's like. And so to get those other styles, those other artworks, I just think there's something so fascinating, and they nailed it. Like,
very much so.
That old 50s one is so funny. It's
so funny.
With that Jerry Robinson Joker, and the way he talks is like a Scooby-Doo villain.
He sounds like Cesar Romero.
Right. But in the Scooby-Doo meets Batman and Robin.
Yes.
The old cartoon, that Joker talked like that. You know, it was that kind of that oh, ho, 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 ho. Yeah, it's so
very
good.
Very over the top Joker.
Yeah, I love it. So what a great choice. It's definitely on my list. And so since you mentioned that one, I think I'll scratch that off mine, and I have to mention Almost Got Him.
Yeah, that's on mine.
Scratch it off. See, I told you.
Season 1, episode 35.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I knew that, but I was didn't have time to say it. So that episode is great because you get Joker and Killer Croc and Poison Ivy, and I think, is it Two-Face that's in
there?
Yeah,
you get the
Penguin.
You
get all the supervillains, you know, Batman's rogue gallery, and they're all sitting around this poker table talking about how they almost killed Batman. You know, they're
almost
like, I almost killed him. No, I got closer to killing him.
Right,
they all,
right, right,
they
right.
all tell their stories, and it's just really cool to see because, again, you don't usually see Batman in these situations, right? Like, Batman, there's only 22 minutes in these episodes, and Batman, you know, he can stumble a little bit here and there, but he's never, like in the old 66 series, he's never tied up next to a saw blade about to die. Like, they never get him that close. But in these clips, they all have these recollections of when they seriously almost killed him.
Almost got him.
And so it's really fun. And you get that, the Killer Croc story kills me every time.
Do you
remember Croc's story, quote unquote?
Like, he's like, I almost bit him.
don't. He goes, I had a really big rock.
Oh, yeah, right,
and,
right.
And they all look at him for like 10 seconds, and he's like, what?
Uh-huh.
It's just, he's so stupid, and it's funny, especially finding out what happens with that character later on. But it's just a really great, because they tell these elaborate stories, and it's just this gag where he has this the dumbest story, and there's nothing to it. But go watch that one if you haven't, and even if you have, it's still great.
No, it's
but you get to see Batman in these situations that he doesn't usually end up in, and you find out how he gets foiled in each of them, or how the bad guys get foiled. And just a different take on that whole thing. And then I really like the end, how it ends up.
That's a good one.
Yep.
And then I guess for my final one, I'll do my honorable mentions first, and then I'll do my last one. So these actually aren't Batman episodes.
Okay.
These are three episodes from Superman the Animated Series.
Now wait a first, minute.
Just wait a second.
Okay.
So Superman the Animated Series season 2 episodes 16 through 18, titled World's Finest.
Okay.
And it's first time that the both animated series crossed over. This is the new look for Batman. Mm-hmm. So it's Joker and Lex Luthor team up, and they go after Batman and Superman. It's basically a movie. You get an hour and a half movie, and it's perfection. It's really good.
Is it Wonder Woman too?
Nope. It's just the two.
Oh, it's just the two. Batman. Okay.
Yeah, Justice League wasn't a thing yet.
Gotcha.
So it's just Batman and Superman, teaming up for the first time. And it's what BVS should have been. Mm-hmm. Maybe not Joker and Lex Luthor teaming up together, but like the banter and how they don't really like each other, but there's a mutual respect between the two. And then my other honorable mention is also Superman the Animated Series, season 3, episode 2, entitled Nighttime, with a K.
Oh,
Batman has gone missing. Tim Drake goes to Metropolis and finds Superman and says, hey, we need your help. So Superman has to be Batman. He dresses up in the bat suit, and he is going around with Robin as Batman, doing Batman things in Gotham, and it's hilarious.
That's great.
When he lands on the roof, when they go away, Commissioner Gordon's like, "Did he look bigger to you?" And he's like, "I don't know." But like, there's a whole scene where he's fighting Bane, and Bane kind of throws this giant rock on him, and of course, it's Superman, right? So he just picks up the rock and throws it out of the way, and nobody can figure out, like, it adds to the mythos of Batman.
Right. That's hilarious.
He's this impossible, he's this thing that can't be beat.
Right.
The Mad Hatter's trying to run away, and of course Superman is using super speed to go from either side and catches him. Mm-hmm. But it's just a fun little Superman episode with Batman in it.
Nice.
But for my final pick, Batman the Animated Series, season 1, episodes 17 and 18, Two-Face.
That's a great episode, and I didn't put it on my list just because I'm not a huge Two-Face guy, but
he is my favorite Batman
movie. Okay, it's an excellent episode, an excellent origin, where you get to go into Harvey Dent and everything. But yeah, great choice.
It's a little bit different. They have changed his origin a little bit. He doesn't get acid thrown in his face. He's on the run. Like, he ends up falling there's an explosion, and he's caught in the explosion. Of course, it does what it does to his face. So they changed that a little bit, but I think it's an amazing two-part episode that talks about the relationship between Bruce and Harvey, and how bad, like, this is one of the villains that Bruce does feel responsible for. Like, he was his friend. Harvey Dent was his friend. And, you know, I think this is where they get the idea that they grew up together, they at least went to school together or were friends at some point before they were, you know, all hell broke loose between the two.
Yeah.
So he does hold like Harvey in a different regard than everybody else. And he's always trying to help Harvey. Like, that's he doesn't really give up on him. He knows he's the villain, but he also knows that there's a good man in there.
Sure.
And they've used that relationship a lot, in the animated series, not the animated, but the movies. He's barely referenced in 89's Batman. I think the deal was that Billy Dee signed on to do the role because he was going to get to be Two-Face.
Yep.
And that never happened until Lego Batman.
That was Batman 3 was supposed to be Two-Face.
Billy Dee Williams, yeah. I think that two-part episode is good stuff. That's so good.
That is.
And you get like one of the probably the best-looking Two-Faces You know, like
it's
that,
a great design.
It's great
with the like white face and
blue. It's like a gross
all gray
blue
or
like
whatever.
A,
yeah,
like yellow it's, eye and
yeah,
yeah. It's good stuff.
It's really well done. Nice job. I'll go through a couple of my honorable mentions here because you know between the two of us, I think we definitely went through quite a bit. But the Demon's Quest, which is another two part.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, anytime you get Ra's al Ghul and Batman, I think that's a fascinating dynamic.
Yeah,
especially when you have some ancient person that can't die basically that keeps coming back
right,
getting younger. So I like that you get to understand more about his backstory, get to see those two on screen. Another one, probably my favorite Riddler episode, If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich?
Yeah, yep.
That's the one where they go to the video game, the Minotaur, Passage to the Minotaur or whatever.
I think that might actually be one of the first Robin ones.
It's possible because, yeah, Robin plays a huge part in it. So yeah. Batman and Robin are like you've got Nigma like being a businessman or something. And they're trying to figure out like what's his play here. And so he's terrorizing this game company and he ends up taking their technology or something. And he puts it into this game, this popular game
called
Flight of the Minotaur or whatever. And Robin being, you know, a young kid and he likes games, he's able to figure out what is going on here. And Batman actually gets stuck inside of the game and has to fight against all these virtual things. And Robin is like playing the game. And it's just a really interesting episode. And I think as a video game fan and a tech lover, when I was a kid, I thought it was just really wild that they
that's
were
a
playing,
good episode.
Yeah, playing inside a virtual reality game, basically.
Yeah,
really good stuff. And my last honorable mention, I think, will just be every Joker episode. I'm a sucker. Joker. Yeah. Joker.
Mark Hamill's Joker is perfection.
It is. It's iconic. It's the ultimate. Just it's my go-to version of the Joker. Any episode that he's in, it's the voice acting, the writing. It's second
Christmas time with the Joker.
It's so good. I mean, that's where you get Jingle Bells. Batman smells actually in the episode.
I think that's his first appearance.
Yeah, his very first appearance. He's on top of a tree in a crazy like an insane asylum singing Jingle Bells, Batman smells, and he rockets away on the tree.
That's ridiculous.
But him being my favorite Batman villain and the masterful work by Mark Hamill, any episode he showed up in, like there are times when I've gone back to watch the series and I'll just go to every Joker episode.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they are my favorites. Anytime he shows up is a good episode. So just honorable mention to all of those. And forever our Batman and Joker.
Indeed.
Great that they were able to voice them in the video games, the Arkham trilogy.
Yeah.
Those two, Conroy and Hamill, voiced them. And anytime those two show up in another project, I'm always happy because it just reminds me of the time where you had the best Batman and Joker ever. And, no one else can quite match that.
Everybody's trying to. No, that's the problem is they're
imitate,
they're,
right?
Yeah, they've had some really good Batman voice actors over time. But Kevin Conroy, and I don't think he should do it anymore, honestly. I think he's getting a little too old and his voice isn't what it used to be. And there's a little something missing. And maybe it's Andrea Romano.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the key, is that she's the one that's missing. But like the Jason O'Mara sucks.
Yeah,
there's no difference between his Batman and his Bruce.
So I like Troy Baker did the
Troy
Joker.
Troy Baker did the Joker on Arkham Origins.
Was in Origins, and I can't remember if he's done in any other animated stuff. But I think Troy Baker does a really, really, really good impression of Mark Hamill's Joker. Like
I think
he gets close, and it's really good. Like if you can't get Mark Hamill, if you can't absolutely cannot,
no, get the guy that was Bender. Joe
DiMaggio
did the voice of the Joker in Batman Under the Red Hood. And it's good.
Is it really good?
Yeah, it's really
good. Okay. I like Troy Baker as a video game voice actor, and he's amazing. He does so many great voices. So Troy Baker can basically play anyone. He can do them all. So I really like him, but I do remember that being good, but I can't hear it in my head for some reason.
It's a darker, growlier
okay.
joke, but it's very good. And he's playing off Bruce Greenwood's Batman, which I think is great.
Okay. Is Greenwood the other one that's pretty good?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Bruce Greenwood, the doctor from Doctor Sleep.
Yeah.
He was Batman in Under the Red Hood.
Okay. Yeah. So his Batman is pretty good. I would say if you can't get
Conroy. He's got like a gravitas and like a, not that Conroy doesn't, but there's just a different feel to his Batman than Conroy's, which I appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think those are good runner ups. Like, if you can't get the other two for whatever reason, price, availability, you know, go to one of those two. But always and forever in my mind, Conroy and Hamill will be Batman and Joker. And sure, anytime I can see them paired up and just watch the two of them, I mean, Joker being a complete nutball, goofball in this series, yeah, Batman just being like perplexed by his craziness and how stupid his stuff is. And, you know, anytime that Joker does these dumb jokes. And I will mention that, going back to my very first one that I picked, just a moment that I didn't touch on that was really nice. By the end, when I won't spoil the whole thing, but there's a moment at the end where Batman laughs, and you never, ever hear that.
Like, oh, yeah, I don't
as,
like it.
As Batman, dressed up in the cowl, with Joker around, Batman laughs, and I just thought that was a
you
really...
You mean in the Killing Joke?
No, in Joker's favor.
Oh,
the
okay,
seventh episode okay, ever aired, something happens where the Joker gets a fast one pulled on him, and Batman starts laughing.
Oh,
you
sure,
just,
sure, sure.
You just never see that. It was funny.
No,
to
I
see
don't like it. It's like when Keanu Reeves smiles. Like, right? Don't do that.
When Keanu Reeves smiles?
Yeah, if you see it, like, anytime, he doesn't smile very often anymore. And when he does, I was like, I don't like it. Don't do that.
So, cool. Well, any other closing thoughts on the
no,
animated
I
series,
think,
Joe?
I think as much as we love Batman, go see the rest of the Tim Paul Dini stuff.
Yeah.
Like, everything they've done, even the animated movies, there's some in there that are with them involved. And they are, if you know, we talk about how bad the DC movies are, this is a nice alternative.
Yeah,
The stuff they did pre Justice League War,
mm-hmm,
which is like the rebooted stuff,
yeah,
is some of the like best stuff that they've ever done, and they've never really come close to that.
Yeah, if you're let's say you're a Marvel fan or you're just not a fan of the DC movies, if you want to see some of the best versions of these characters like ever created in any medium, it's go watch those. Batman the Animated Series. You will not be
Batman,
disappointed.
Batman, Superman, Justice League, all that stuff, like. All of it is the best representation of what makes those characters great.
Yeah, and so that's like we said before, I think these creatives really need to look to these episodes and what made them great, and hopefully they can pick up on some of those things.
Indeed.
So great. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoyed that, and I really
that was a long one. That was good though.
It was, and I really hope that we turned some people on to the animated series that maybe have never watched it before.
Yeah, hopefully.
I guarantee
you. What's wrong with you?
Well, again, we were kids when that was on TV, so we were right in that demographic. But for the kids that grew up watching it, it's amazing how, as adults, I mean, they still hold up, and they're quality shows. So give them a chance. Don't let the fact that they're cartoons throw you off. Really, if you like superheroes, you like Batman, give them a chance. Maybe even if you don't, this might turn you on to those characters because, again, they're excellent representations.
No, they really are.
So check them out. All right. Well, that will do it for this episode. Joe, tell everyone where they can find you.
You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
And this is Kevin. Of course, follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. And just, you know, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Again, we appreciate it. And thank you for your continued patronage. It's always a pleasure being able to do these for you. And we'll look forward to the next one.
Indeed. Here's hoping. And also, like, let us know. Like, if there, I know I said this on the last one, but if there's something you want us to cover, please reach out through Messenger. You know, I'm sure you could find a way to get a hold of us, and we were more than happy to, depending on what
it is. Yeah, for the patrons, we're
like, cover something for you guys. For you patrons, we'll absolutely listen to what you guys want.
Definitely. We're always open to suggestions, and it may not always work with the plans or whatever, but please don't feel afraid to reach out and just say, hey, would you guys ever think of doing this or that? And, you know, just keep asking, and we'll definitely take it into consideration. So,
indeed.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening and supporting the show, and until next time, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. See you. Thanks.
When we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.